Welcome to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the only show of its kind. Brad Pollock, Bob Leonard in the studio today. Gary's out of town. Bob, how you doing?
Great, Brad. How are you doing this morning?
It's great. Good, nice day. We got a lot of calls coming in. Hopefully, we'll have a lot of calls. We are a personal injury law firm, Bell and Pollock. We're located in Greenwood Village, Denver, Steamboat Springs. In our regular lives, we're personal injury lawyers. Today, we just try and answer the questions you might have with regard to whatever's going on in your life. If you've got a question, give us a call. We'll get to your call. Sometimes you have to hold a little bit, but we'll get to the call. If we don't get to you, we'll talk to you off the air. We'll look up your problems. We'll get somebody to call you and talk to you. We've been doing this show for about 10, 15 years. If you don't get through to us or you have a question, you want to talk to us in our office, 303-795-5900, bellpollock.com, championsofthepeople.com. If you've been hurt, we'll give you a legal game plan, and you can actually get us, if you put in legal game plan, my legal game plan in the internet and the computer, you'll be able to get to us that way too. We're going to go right to the phones right now. We got some people calling. We got Martin and Cindy. Martin, how you doing today, buddy?
Good morning, guys. Hi, Bob.
How you doing this morning?
A little sleepy, but I'm okay.
Well, it's kind of early, Martin. We like to rattle you and get you up. What's going on, man?
I'm calling about the recovery of medical bills, and I'm familiar with the lien process that can attach to a certain claim, a personal injury claim. But what happens if there are medical bills that are outstanding that aren't covered under the lien process, and the client or the patient has these bills outstanding? How are those treated in a legal sense in terms of litigation and when you claim against an insurance company for recovery?
Okay, well, if I'm getting you right, are you talking about legal bills that are for the care for the injury that was incurred in the personal injury case?
No, the actual medical bills that aren't.
Or just medical bills that are just
outstanding out there floating around.
Okay, well, first of all, the only entity that has a right to put a lien on any kind of personal injury case is a hospital. They can put a lien on it by going to the Secretary of State's office, and that lien can only be with regard to care rendered as a result of the accident, as a result of the injury that was sustained, right, Bob?
That's correct. You can go to the Secretary of State's office and actually look up the lien.
And so what you're doing when you're dealing with that is that's the only lien. Now, any other lien is a voluntary lien. That means the person who's injured tells the doctor, tells the healthcare provider, I'll give you a lien against the proceeds to this personal injury case. Most lawyers are only going to allow that lien to be to the extent of care that comes from the injury itself. Whether a party wants to give them a lien against some other part of the potential recovery, well, that's something that every person has a right to do, but Martin, you know as well as I do, that's gambling, man. You don't know what you're going to recover in a personal injury case.
Yeah, it's a crapshoot.
It's a crapshoot. That's our job. We live it every day. And if you've got a third-party health care provider, let's say that's treated you for an appendix problem or for a tonsillectomy or for some other kind of problem, that health care provider taking a lien against a personal injury case is going to have to get in line, is probably going to be below everybody who is given some kind of care as it relates to the case itself. It'll get behind the lawyers who are going to be getting their fees. So that's quite a ways down the list.
But say, for example, the provider who attaches the lien or agrees to the lien, and what happens if the recovery in the case is actually lower than expected? Is any balance that's owed to that provider waived?
You know, you could negotiate the lien down with the provider. Otherwise, you're probably responsible for the whole amount.
It's going to be outstanding.
Right. But what you hope to do
and
is...
And who's going to eat that?
A lot of times a provider eats it because they don't have enough money. But most of these liens are set up to a point where, Martin, where they say the healthcare provider says, look, I'll take a lien, But that's not the only way I get paid. If you don't get enough money from your lawsuit, then you got to pay me on a payment plan, or you got to put together some other way to pay me.
They'll come back at you.
Oh, yeah.
Responsible party.
Yeah, they'll come back at the responsible party. They want the responsible party to pay the bill. And it's almost got to be that way. Could you imagine me putting a doctor on the stand and say, doctor, was this person hurt in the accident? They say yes, and defense counsel gets up and says, well, you've got to lean against this, and that's the only way you're going to get paid? And the doctor goes, yeah. And they say, so if you don't win, you don't get paid? And the doctor goes, yeah. Do you think a jury might have a question as to whether or not that doctor is really being truthful, or if the doctor has a financial motive?
I mean, there's a cloud of credibility.
Oh, yeah. Pretty big one, don't you think, Martin?
Well, I don't mind it.
Well, I think
I understand.
A lot of jurors look at that and they're going to go, know. Look, this doctor's got every reason in the world to stretch the truth, if not just be completely out of bounds on it. So, you know, we, in our office, we don't like the lien process. We don't like doing that. We like to see if we can have our clients in a situation. And we for sure don't put doctors on the stand who are going to be doing that kind of stuff. We don't like it.
In a way, it's cleaner not to have the lien process.
Much cleaner not to have it.
Oh, also, last week I called and regarding the missed kind of claims.
Right.
The minor injury.
Soft tissue.
Stuff.
Right.
And, you know, I ran into some other attorneys that really don't like missed claims.
Well, no attorney likes it, but they're out there. I mean, you know, Martin, somebody can be in an accident that destroys the cars and they walk away unhurt. Other people can be in an accident where there's very little damage and they're hurt. I mean, but proving it, convincing a jury, convincing people that that's what happened, nobody likes that. That's a hard one.
Because it seems like it's an ambiguous claim.
That's right. Very ambiguous. People don't believe it. But
whatever they woke up feeling like, they can just claim it.
But, Martin, if my job only entailed picking cherries from the trees that are next to the road, then, you know, it'd be a nice world for all of us. But the bottom line is it's my job to try the hard cases, too, and to work the hard cases.
I suppose you have a strong arm.
I hope so. And if somebody's really been hurt bad, you go after it. Even trying to convince a jury that, yes, there's no damage to the cars, yes, it's small speed, but this person is hurt, and you try and prove it to the jury.
Well, it was good talking with you guys, and Bob, you know, we'll talk sometime in the future.
You have a good day, Martin.
Thanks, Martin.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Thank you for listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the only show of its kind. We're going to go to Cindy. Cindy, how you doing today?
Pretty good. How about you?
Good. What's going on?
Well, I'm in a workman's comp claim thing and with a really big company, and I hurt myself on the job, and I can't anyway, their attorney had sent me some, and I'm going to represent myself at a hearing for you know, if it's a over the phone hearing with a judge.
So tell us more about the case. What's going on?
Well, I got hurt at work, and I got I spent time with workman's compensation doc and a physical therapist, and then with the MRI that they did, they found out that I had a torn ligament in my thumb. And it doesn't sound like a whole lot, but your thumb is a big deal.
Sure. Certainly is. Hey, Cindy, can you hold over the break? We got to go to a commercial break. Can you hold the break?
Thank you so much. Yes.
Okay, hold on. We want to get to you, so don't leave us, okay?
All right.
You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We'll be right back.
Please don't dominate the rap jack if you got no.
Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Bob Leonard in studio today. You can call us 303-713-8255. In our real lawyer lives, we're personal injury lawyers, but today we'll talk to you about any topic, anything you need to know about. If you're in Steamboat Springs, you can call us at 970-457-1009. Line here again is 303-713-8255. We're talking to Cindy right now. Cindy, thanks for holding with us. You got a work comp issue. You're going to go to a hearing, right?
Well, I'm going to over the phone have a pre-hearing.
So what is the pre-hearing all about, Cindy?
I guess just to see, the lawyer said it was discovery and the workman's comp people. I have it this upcoming Thursday, and I guess it's a discovery thing, and he's going to bring up that they want to disallow any compensatory.
So they're saying it wasn't on the job injury, it wasn't compensatory?
Right. And so he sent me a letter. He's kind of a peacock. And he sent me a letter that said that he had already sent me forms that I need to drastically fill out and get back to him before the phone call with the judge. And one of them is a workman's compensation authorization to release medical information. He checked every box that there was and then some, like, have I been committed, HIV testing, you know, just all this crazy stuff. And I don't know if I have to. And whenever I look at the form, it looks like my information will be public. And then also, it looks like my information, you know, like this is a voluntary thing. Everything says it's voluntary.
So what kind of medical records do you have or what kind of doctors have you seen?
Well, I saw a surgeon. I had a surgery for this injury, and now I'm seeing a physical therapist for this injury.
Well, were you hurt? Did you have to leave work for this injury, or is this one where your thumb started hurting and you went?
I felt a pop, and then I went to a workman's comp doctor the next day.
Okay, so
and then I was put on light duty, and then I was I never left light duty. And then the workman's comp doc talked to me about having my insurance pick up the bill for the surgery. And then lo and behold, I was off of workman's comp without an MMI and without anything. And then I had the surgery, which is what I wanted. I wanted to get things fixed, but I did get hurt on the job.
What?
I haven't been paid for almost 3 months now.
What kind of work do you do?
What kind of work did I do? I was a cashier.
Okay, so you feel the pop on the job. You get hurt as a result of working on the job. Did the and you said this work comp doctor convinced you or told you to go get the surgery done on your own insurance rather than a work comp?
Yeah, that's what she said. She said, oh, well, don't worry about that. Medicaid doesn't need any referrals to a specialist. They just need you, you know, you could just ask the specialist, which I did see while I was on workman's comp, who suggested the surgery, and then they denied it. And she said, well, if you want to get it fixed, this is how I would go about it. And I went, oh, okay. And so that's how I went about it.
Did you have a hearing on the issue of whether work comp should cover the cost of the surgery?
That's what I'm going to, I guess, experience this upcoming week.
Okay, Cindy.
And so he told me he sent me all these forms. He didn't send me all these forms. And then I have another form for authorization for release of insurance information, employment information, and then.
Well, you know, and it's I'm a little concerned about how much they're wanting. You know, you're talking about a thumb, and they're wanting all this different information, and I'm not so sure they're entitled to all that. That's something that may have to be addressed in the hearing. Plus, I'm a little concerned about the fact that you hurt yourself on the job, and you're getting no wage benefits.
No, I'm not.
You're not getting any medical benefits now.
No, I'm not.
Did they file a workers' comp claim with the state of Colorado?
No, I had to do that.
So you filed because they wouldn't file for you?
Right.
And have you gotten any kind of other documents from them where they're admitting anything?
Yeah, I got a final letter of admission to the liability of it. And they have it on film. They even told me, oh, wow, we could see where you did this.
So what, you know, you have 30 days once you get that letter to do something, whether you...
I did do the something.
Did you contest it?
I did. And okay. That's what this phone call that I'm going to be going to or...
So you filed an application for hearing.
Uh-huh.
And when is that hearing date?
This upcoming Thursday.
Well, you said this was a pre-hearing for the...
Well, that's how I understood it. But I'm representing myself.
Why is there a reason you haven't gotten an attorney involved in this, Cindy?
Because it doesn't pay very much.
Yeah, most attorneys won't take it because they're saying it's only a thumb and they don't want to get involved, right?
Right, but boy, you know what? Whenever your thumb is goofed up, it's
Well, you know, workers' comp is great when you're hurting off the job, but you know, once you had that final that injury, they don't seem to care too much after they pay you your benefits.
It's called a scheduled injury, and that's what they've got. You've got a scheduled injury. So, and the problem is that the amount of money you stand to get for the permanent injury isn't a lot. But the other side is exactly what you're saying. You're not getting your wages.
No.
That's a big deal. And you're not getting your medical care, and these surgeries and these expenses are very high. Here's what's got to happen, Cindy. You've got to. I don't want you going to that hearing without having talked to one of our lawyers. We go through in detail what you need to do, what your argument's going to be.
You didn't send me your book. I called up before, and you said, I'm going to send this to you, and it did, but it didn't. In your book, it didn't address any of this stuff.
Right, and this is a little deeper issue. The book talks about some general stuff, but when we start talking about specifics of hearings and how you've got to take care of that, that's a different story. But what we need to do is get you, even over the phone, you're in Fort Collins, so, you know, and we're down in Denver. So what we need to do is get you over the phone a free consultation where we lay out a game plan for you on exactly what you want to do on this hearing, okay?
That would be fabulous.
And go through the details. So I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to have Kevin take your number. We're going to have one of our work comp lawyers give you a call. We'll go through more specifics. Now, you said the hearing's on Thursday?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
At 8 o'clock in the morning on the phone.
So you need a call on Monday or Tuesday because that'll give you time to go over it and then digest it and then get back to us, okay?
Certainly.
You guys have been more than generous with me.
Certainly, I think the attorney's asking way too much information for a thumb injury. And I think we'll help you identify what type of things you actually can talk to about.
Yeah, I think there's some abuse going on there. They've admitted it's an on-the-job injury, so there's more questions here what's going on. So and you need to know what's going to happen in this hearing and how you want to argue it. So we'll set you up with a game plan, with a nice outline, and have it so you know what you can argue, okay?
Been so generous. Thank you so much.
We'll take care of you. All right. So stay on hold and give Kevin your number. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. You're listening to the Bell and Polk Legal Show. You can call us. We've got lines open 303-713-8255. That's our show line here in Denver. If you're in Steamboat, call us at 970-457-1009. We do have some lines open. You know, Bob, you know, one of the issues we have nowadays that you have to be concerned about is, elderly driving. And it's a topic people stay away from. They don't like to talk about. But there's some liability that can hang out there, isn't there?
There's a lot of liability. You know, it's hard to tell mom or grandmom that they can't drive anymore. But what they don't realize is they're putting themselves at risk and putting other people at risk, not only physically, but also financially. There are times where, you know, if you go to a doctor and the doctor says, you shouldn't be driving, maybe your vision's poor, you have cognitive disability, you can't make good judgment, and you get in a car accident, you're putting yourself at financial risk and the people that love you in financial risk.
This is a big topic, folks. I mean, you know, how many of us have driven with a like you said, a mother or a grandparent or somebody, and you're concerned about their driving, and you're going, okay, what do we do? We talk about what kind of injuries there are, and, you know, we've got people 70, 80 years old. I'm not crashing on it. Believe me, I'm approaching that age. But what we're talking about is whether or not the driving abilities have diminished and what you have to do when you face that issue.
You know, Brad, I had a case a couple years ago where the driver had a visual impairment. They had lost their peripheral vision. And the woman was driving down the street and she hit a parked car when the guy was trying to get out of the car. And, we added exemplary damages, punitive damages, because she knew. She'd had information from her doctor saying that she shouldn't be driving because of her lost peripheral vision. But then, you know, cataracts, glaucoma, contrast sensitivity impairment, all are issues that you need to be concerned about when driving. And as you get older, you can't see as well, you can't make good judgment, you're putting yourself at extreme risk. But the question is, how do you take the keys away from grandma?
And it's a big deal, folks. We have... the highways are getting harder and harder to navigate. We have different roads. We have different lanes. We have a number of different things we have to deal with on the roads. Signs popping up, directions. We have people that, as they get older, they start having declining capabilities. We're having our population, our elderly population is increasing. At least it's predicted in the next 20 years, the number of elderly drivers, and that's persons 70 and older, is predicted to triple in the United States. So we're talking about, okay, how do we make sure they're okay to drive? Some states start requiring yearly or annual or every couple of years that you've got to go back in and retest when you hit a certain age. So it's something you have to be concerned about when there's driving and what you want to do and the protection you have. We're the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We're going to go to a break. You can call us. Lines are open. 303-713-8255. That's 303-713-8255. In Steamboat, 970-457-1009. We're here to talk to you about any topic, any legal topic. Give us a call. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Bob Leonard in the studio. Telephone number 303-713-8255. In the Steamboat, it's 970-457-1009. We're going to get to the calls. We got Cindy and Rick waiting to hear from us. But Eric, how are things at Caitlin's right now?
They're doing great. How are you doing today?
You know, Eric, if that deck is not open today, I may not come down.
Well, don't worry. It's open. The umbrellas are up. We got all kinds of things going on. We'll start off with our breakfast special. We're on our last week of the breakfast and lunch special. So now the breakfast special is going to be a breakfast quesadilla that comes on 2 6-inch flour tortillas. That's got scrambled eggs, lettuce, tomato, guacamole, sour cream. You get your choice of diced ham, bacon, or sausage in that. That's going to be the special for the rest of the week. As far as the breakfast special goes, the lunch special is going to be a pork chorizo burrito. You can get that smothered in our scratch-made red or green chili as well. That comes with lettuce, tomato, guac, and sour on the side, beans and rice. Really good lunch special there. And we also have, I haven't mentioned this very much to you guys, we have an early bird special. We run that Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. It's early bird special. You can get 2 eggs, hash browns, 1 sausage patty, 2 slices of bacon or a half a ham slab, and a slice of toast. That's only $5.99. That's from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday every week. And don't forget, also, on Mondays and Fridays from 11 to 2, it's all-you-can-eat taco and burrito buffet. It's all you can eat. It's only $7.99. That actually includes a non-alcoholic beverage in the price. But if you are into alcoholic beverages, we've got bottomless mimosas for $10. You can come down and get those on that deck that you want open. Come enjoy the beautiful weather Colorado's got and come see us at Caitlin's.
Eric, I'm going to put you on the spot. What about my sweet tooth? What do you got down there?
I have strawberry shortcake pancakes, chocolate chip pancakes, bananas Foster's pancakes. I have cinnamon grillers that we grill up on butter on the grill, golden brown, super sweet, super delicious.
Okay.
Can't beat it.
Now you got me coming down.
There we go.
I like it, Eric. Where are you located again?
Well, I'll tell you where you come down to. You come down to 4379 East Mississippi Avenue. Now, that's one block east of Colorado Boulevard. That's in the Glendale Shopping Center.
And you got some rugby players down there now, don't you?
It starts this weekend, absolutely. So come hang out. They're fun. They're a blast to hang out with. They come down and hang out on the deck, too. So come and have a good time with us.
I'll see you, Eric. Take
you
care, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We're going to stay right with the phones. We got Cindy. Cindy, you're co-signer on a car. You got a problem, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about it. You said you're co-signer and you don't know where the car is?
Yes.
Is this relative?
Yes.
Who is it?
A family member.
Grandson?
Co-signed on a car. I'm the primary on the loan. I'm the primary on the registration. However, he has kept the car payments up. And he's had an accident. He doesn't have a driver's license. I have no idea where the car is, and I'm concerned about my liability.
What about the insurance in the car? Who's keeping
that
up?
He's keeping the insurance up.
Do you know where he is?
No.
Okay. And is it a grandson?
No.
What? Okay. What we're gonna have to do is that we can help you, and some of this may involve getting an investigator as far as what information you have, so we can track down where the car is. Now, what do you want to do? Do you want to take the car back? Do you want to just get more control over it, or what is it you want to do about the car?
The car has been in so many accidents with him. No, I don't want the car back.
Okay, so
I would like to be released from any responsibility.
That's going to be hard, and that's going to take a very hard and difficult process. And I'll explain to everybody why when I talk about that is the lender, the person who gave the money, they're relying on you, Cindy. They're not relying on him. And because
that was Wells Fargo, and they say that the payments are up to date.
Right. So Wells Fargo's not going to help you at all.
No.
And there's no default in the way the loan's being made. Then they look at you and they say, and everybody's going to look and say, well, you've got no contract. Now, the place where I think you have your best and safest way of addressing this is if you've got a person driving without either a license or insurance. Okay?
He doesn't have a license.
And that's
a learner's permit.
And that's where you want to start taking some action if he's driving without without a license. Are you saying the person has a learner's permit, no license, but yet they keep making the payments?
Yes.
Well, be happy they're making the payments. Don't rock that boat. But it sounds like what you want is a little bit more control, a little bit more knowledge of what's going on.
Right.
That's something we need to help you with, okay? As far as how we do it. And for that, we're going to need some personal details, and we're going to talk about how you can find the car. You're located in Denver. Is the person who's got the car normally located in Denver?
Yes.
Okay. And about how old is this person?
Elderly.
I'm sorry?
Elderly.
An elderly person?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, we may be able to have some ways to track that person down and get an idea of what's going on. But right now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to then get you in a situation where we can talk to you off the air and get more details and help you track the car down. Okay.
Thanks so very much.
Okay, so stay on hold. Kevin will take that number. We're going to stay right with the lines because we've got them full. We're going to go to Darlene real quick. Darlene, how you doing today?
Well, hi. I'm doing well. Thank you for taking my call.
Good. What can we do for you?
I am just calling to say thank you so much for all the service you guys do. I am fortunate I'm not involved in any kind of a legal issue at this point in my life, but I listen to you guys every Saturday morning. You give me so much information, and it's so good to have that network available to me should I have any issues in the future with, you know, finances or personal injury or any kind of contractual, you know, concerns. So I'm really just calling to be one of many out there that say thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Darlene.
Thank you for calling in.
We enjoy doing it. And you know what? If you ever have a problem, Darlene, we're here for you.
I know. Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys.
Okay,
have
you
a
take
great
care.
Week.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. You too. You listen to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. That's a nice call. We appreciate those type of calls. You can call us at 303-713-8255. That's 303-713-8255. If you're in Steamboat, it's 970-457-1009. Right now, we're going to try and talk to Rick. Rick, how you doing, bud?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good. You got a landlord-tenant question?
Yes. I recently just purchased a home and moved out of a townhome that I was in for 13 years renting.
Okay.
And I just have a feeling that the landlord is going to try to get most of or all of my deposit from me. I know that he can only take the deposit for normal wear and tear.
Right.
And I'm trying to figure out what is considered normal wear and tear after 13 years.
Well, you know, I'd want to see the deposit, but basically he can't take it for normal wear and tear.
Okay.
The deposits for damages to the premises that would exceed normal wear and tear. Bob, what do you think about that?
That's right, Brad. And he has to send you a ledger showing all the damages he's claiming within, I think it's 30 days. Is it 30 days, Brad?
Well, it'll be 30 unless your lease calls for 60 or 90.
Yeah.
Did your lease call for 60, I'll bet?
Lease calls for 60, which I'm okay with.
Did you give proper notice about leaving?
Yeah, and all that. And did a walkthrough with him afterwards. I took pictures, did a video. My thing is there was never a walkthrough with the management company that he initially went through with me. They gave me the keys and, you know, went into the townhome, and it was not at that point clean. So we repainted it all at our expense, put blinds in where they needed to be, did a bunch of cleaning. I did note all of that in a fax to the management company back 13 years ago, and showed the copy of that to the landlord, and he said, well, there was never a walkthrough, but you signed the lease saying that a walkthrough was done. So I, you know, have to assume that it was in immaculate condition when I when they gave it to you, not with all these, you know, damages ahead of time that you're now telling me 13 years later.
Well, what makes him get to assume it was immaculate condition? Maybe we have to assume it was in terrible condition.
Well, that's what I said. He says because the land or the management company that he's dealt with for several years never kept a place like that, would never show a place like that. And I showed him where I showed him the facts that I had originally sent 13 years ago to the management company. I then sent an email because they never got back to me, never got reimbursed for all these expenses at the time that I incurred for doing all this. And he showed me a copy of the lease that I signed off on, which was actually a different copy than I actually did sign off on.
Do you have a copy of the one you signed off on?
I have a copy of it. I showed that to the landlord. He compared it to the one that he showed me saying I signed, and they were different, and he sees that they're different, and it was kind of like a paste and cut photocopy, I guess,
uh-huh.
job that was done. And so I said, well, right there, that should tell you something that, you know, to help me. And he says, well, I've got to get to the bottom of this. I just don't know what you're trying to pull here. So...
Well, I like your position right now. I think you're in a good position.
How long ago did you vacate the property?
At the end of January.
So end of February into March. So your 60 yeah. days are just about up.
Coming up, correct.
All right, here's what happens. If he doesn't give you an accounting within those 60 days, then a whole new set of rules takes over. Are you aware of that?
Correct. Yes, I'm aware.
Okay. So at that point, you know, he's got to return the deposit, and also he can start looking at penalties, and he can have a problem. So what we want to do, Rick, is I want to it sounds like you're pretty much on top of it, but I want to be able to talk to you about it off the air. I have one of our lawyers set up a game plan for you on how you want to handle this.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to put you on hold, get your number, and have one of our lawyers call you up. Get you set up for what happens, and help you monitor this to make sure you're okay. All right.
Beautiful. I appreciate it.
All right. So hold on, and we'll take care of your call. You're listening to the Bell and Polk Legal Show. We got to go to a break. After that, we got some calls. We got Rick again in Colorado Springs about some water and electric issues. We got Mark. We got JR. So we're going to get to all of you. So just hang on through the break, and we'll be right back. Bell and Polk Legal Show, 303-713-8255. We're going to stay right with the phones. We'll take your calls in the order in which they came. We got Rick. We're going to talk to him about landlord issues also. And then, Mark, you're next up. So hang with us. We'll talk to both of you. Rick, are you there?
I'm here.
What's going on, bud?
Utilities can lien real property for non-payment of water.
Yes, they can.
They can.
Yes.
And, I understand that.
And your sewer also can do that.
Excuse me?
Yeah, the sewer can also do that.
That is correct. And apparently now some electrics are also doing that.
Right. Now, the electrics are interesting because electrics, see, a lot of times the water depends on where the water bill goes, and the sewer is very difficult because, you know, the sewer is once a year. Electric's a monthly bill. And electric should be being transferred every time somebody comes in or out of your property. So, I'm, you know, when they start leaning, you start saying, well, wait a minute, why didn't you transfer this bill when you were called and told to transfer the electric?
And the reason being is because usually the tenant will leave without paying.
Right, and you hope you got a big enough security deposit to cover that.
Well, maybe.
Right.
My real question is this. I understand on a mechanics lien that I can post a bond, and at that point they can't perfect a lien. Can I do the same thing in this water electric business?
I'm not aware of anything that they have now right now that allows you to get around it,
okay.
with a bond. And you have a good question, because what you're saying is, wait a minute, I'm landlord, I lease to these people. I got an electric company or a water company that doesn't take any action for 2 to 3 months. These people know they're going to leave, so they run up a high water bill or electric bill for 2 to 3 months. And at that point, when they run the bill up, that they leave, it exceeds the security deposit, especially if they left the place a mess, and now I've got a lien against my property.
Right. Furthermore, I'm not a part of this, any contract between the tenant and utility. I don't tell the utility what to take for deposit. I don't check credit scores for them, any of this.
That's right.
And but in utility, of course, having a place to go quickly does a very minimal job of trying to collect.
Now I did have a little bit ago one of these where the utility would send a copy of the bill to the landlord. You talk to the people and seen if they do that anymore, or are they not doing that anymore?
I can get a copy of the bill.
Right, okay.
But if I have a copy of the bill, what do I do?
Well, and that
the
goes...
The only thing I can do is I can tell them to shut off the water.
That goes back to the lease, and that's getting the lease and necessary statements within the lease saying that if you are 30 days late or if you're late in paying your bill, I can take such action, including the lease, if I want to, okay, cutting off the lease, declaring a default on the lease or having the water shut down. Very rarely are you going to get that done by the electric company in the middle of winter with bad weather.
Yeah, absolutely.
So and then that starts working into, okay, what have you done to check on the credit scores of the people you've let in, and what have you done to get a high enough security deposit? But you've stumped me on one, Rick, that I'm going to have to do a little research on, is I knew water did it, and usually the water bills are so low you can work with them, because unless you're renting a house, which, you know, then you got grass being taken care of and stuff, usually the water bills are pretty low.
And I rent houses.
Okay. Where I'm stumped was the electric. I was not aware that the electric companies now were putting liens. And, last time I checked with this would have been a couple of years ago. Bob, you know anything about that?
You know, Brad, I don't.
So Rick,
there's a Colorado statute that allows the liening of water.
Right.
But there is no Colorado statute that I know of allows the liening of electric. So
and
I've done it at a city level.
And I don't know one either. And I'm not so sure the municipalities where they're coming in saying they're going to do that at the electric level, at the municipality level.
They're apparently doing it. And my guess is it just hasn't been challenged yet.
You're calling from Colorado Springs?
Correct.
Okay. So is it the municipality in Colorado Springs is doing it?
Actually, I'm given to understand that it's Fort Collins, but utility companies here are trying to do the same thing.
Okay. Well, I think it's a dangerous precedent, so I don't think it should be allowed. You know, I think the utility companies have to get their appropriate deposits, and they should be collecting their money from the people. And not holding against property.
I feel that that's the case, too. Now, there's also a small water utility company here in the area that will not even start an account in the name of the tenant.
Hey, Rick, can you listen a little bit longer on this show?
Sure.
Okay, what I'm going to do, first of all, I'm going to get your number and get your information, but the Barry and Larry, the real estate show, comes on right after this.
Uh-huh.
And those guys will know a lot about this issue. If they don't, I know they'll help find it. And I'm going to do some research, too. I'm going to take your number and get back to you to try and help protect against this.
Okay.
But listen to that real estate show. Those guys are excellent. They really know their stuff. And I got a feeling I'm going to throw it to them during the break and tell them to tell us whatever information they've got, if they've got any. If not, we'll get it for you, and we'll make sure we get it for you. All right?
Oh, you guys are great. Thank you.
Okay. We'll take care of you. Thank you. Well, I'm going to put you on hold, get your number. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We're going to go to Mark. Mark, you got a landlord-tenant issue.
Yes, sir.
What's up, bud?
I don't know. It might already be too late because we've already gone to court and the judge already ruled in the landlord's favor.
Okay.
But he lied on a stand, and, you know, I don't know nothing about it. I've never been to court over this kind of stuff or anything. And, I mean, he lied about stuff that he bought, stuff that he did, the condition of the house when we moved in. And at the time, we had pictures, but my hard drive crashed on my computer, so it took us longer to get that information back off the hard drive before the court date. And the judge wouldn't let us bring it into the court on the day of the trial and stuff. I don't know, is there a way to appeal that, or is it pretty much done?
When did you go to court?
Last month, 23rd.
Last month. All right.
Yeah.
Was it for an eviction?
Yes.
Okay. You got two things here. You've been evicted. Did you leave the property?
Yeah, we left the property, and we paid that month's rent and everything.
Okay. And so now do you have a judgment for collection of additional back rent or damages to the property against you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And I've got you calling from Penrose. That's down around the Springs, right?
Yeah, Canyon City.
Okay. Was this in Canyon City, or was it in the Springs, or where was it?
Oh, it was in Canyon City.
Okay. Listen, this is something where we might have to perfect. You were in county court or district court, do you know?
It was county.
All right. You might have to perfect an appeal, and you could be right up against the edge of the time period you have to, to do that appeal if you want to appeal it as far as what went on. And, okay. and that's going to take, some detail about getting the information. You got to gather together all the information. Was there a written order, or was it all verbal over the bench?
I believe we got something in the mail stating how much the judge awarded him, so I believe it was written.
Okay. We're going to want to get that, and we want to get that information, okay?
Okay.
And you got to get it to us. I want you to package all this stuff or get it on the internet so you can download it and get it over to us, because you're going to get a call early this week, and we want that stuff sent to us right away.
Okay.
So we can make sure we do your time periods, all right?
Okay. And there was one other thing, too, because when he told us he wanted us out, he went and shut the water off, and the bill was paid and everything.
Well, we'll talk about that. I don't think you can do that either, but we're up against the wall here right now, so hold on. Give us your number, and we'll talk to you, all right?
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, Mark from Boulder, you had a divorce question. Hold on. Kevin will take your number, and we'll talk to you off the air also. You guys have been listening to the Bell and Polk Legal Show, the only show of its kind. We appreciate your calls. Sorry we couldn't get to all of you. We will get to you off the air and call you this week and let you know what's going on. We'll be right back here next week, so if you have questions you want to address on the air, you can call us next week. We're here from 7 to 8 in the morning every single Saturday. We look forward to talking to you. Listen to the Barry and Larry Show. They're coming up in the next hour. They'll tell you, and then they got a break, and then they come back on. We'll talk to you next week.